You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast for Tuesday, 22 February 2005. Welcome to the podcast.
Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Hello, everybody. Aloha, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. Coming to you as live as it can be. I guess the new phrase is live to the hard drive from here in the historic Ford Island in Honolulu. Hey, we've got a new sound tonight, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, but let us know. We want to know how our sound is because we worked all weekend on it. So anyway, welcome to the podcast. It's Tuesday. I hope you guys all had a great holiday on Monday. I know some of you had to work. I did not. I got to stay home yesterday. And I know my folks are they're packing up and getting ready to go back to Michigan. And the word back there is that it's snow and it's cold and it's miserable. And my mom's friend told her, just stay in Hawaii. Don't leave. So I'm going to rub it in a little bit. It was a beautiful weekend here, as always. You know, it's very rarely bad, but in the wintertime, we do get a little rain, so I can't complain. I have a pretty good show for you tonight. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. I have a lot of show notes to go over. There's a lot of stuff happening. Phone's been ringing off the hook. I've been talking to people on Skype, been instant messaging back and forth. People are starting to feed me little tidbits of information. It's been pretty interesting. A lot of things I can't talk about because I've been sworn to secrecy. But I did hear a couple of rumors, and I'm able to impart to you guys. But first of all, I want to thank a couple of people. Kevin Devon over at In the Trenches, he took care of me. His know-how in Linux was able to get some stuff fixed on my server. And I tell you what, having a dedicated host, you folks, and if you buy a Linux box, you better know Linux, because if you don't, you're going to be a hurting puppy. So I went over to Borders this weekend and bought me a Linux book. It wasn't a Linux book for dummies, but it was close enough. I need to learn how to use the shell and get around and do those kinds of things that I should have knew about before but didn't. But I want to thank Kevin for the help on that. And I have another person to thank, too. His name's Tim. He doesn't listen to podcasts, but I was hooked up to him through another podcaster, actually from another podcast support site. And Tim has done the majority of the work on there, and I'm actually in his debt also. Now, for those of you that are liking our new sound, you need to go over to, and the thing is, we may not be perfect yet. We're going to continue to work on it. And this is my first podcast with the new equipment, so hopefully it comes out good. We're thinking about taking the show format to 128 kbits, make it for a bit rate, to make it worthy, almost CD quality. We've been publishing at 64 kbit rate, and we're thinking about pushing it to 128. There's a stark difference, but I don't know if I can afford the bandwidth by going to 128. But tonight's show is going to be produced at 64K, so we'll see what happens. But go over and check out podcastrigs.com and let us know what you think about that site. Make sure you send the guy that runs it. His name's Paul Fagani, and I hope I pronounced the last name correct. He's out of New York, and I've talked about his podcast several times before. But if you're not listening to the point, if you're a audio aficionado or want to know anything about video, He is the man to listen to. This guy has got a wealth of knowledge, and I really appreciate all the help that he's given me. I spent a little time with him on the phone the other night. But basically, the changes I've made here is we've replaced the Behringer 12-channel, or actually I had a 8-channel a mixer with a Mackie. It's a 1202 VLZ Pro. Very, very nice mixer. Very low noise. Amplifiers in it are just absolutely amazing. We've also got a DBX 266 XL in the stack and a channel insert that's being the compressor and basically noise reduction. And then we've got a Aphex 204, and it's basically an oral exciter. It's supposed to make me more clear and more intelligible to you so that things come through clear. We will see. But that equipment that is sitting here in a rack was not cheap. But as I have mentioned before, I am in this for the long haul, and I have decided to invest in our sound quality and to make sure that we are giving you, heck, I might be the bad part of this show. I got all this superior equipment, but maybe it's the podcast speaker that's got to have some work now. So I have to go through and make sure that I, see that? I said, I have to make sure I get work on my speaking habits for you guys. I talked to a gentleman. It's actually my sister has a friend who's getting married over here. And he works for a major newspaper in Michigan. And he's actually an editor with a major newspaper. And I'm not going to say which newspaper it is, because I really didn't get permission to him to talk about this a great deal. So I'm not going to dime his company out. But his company's redoing their website. And the first thing I asked him was, were they putting a RSS feed on the website? And he said no. And I was pretty blunt with him, and I said, are you guys stupid? How come you're not listening? You know, basically, how come you're not putting an RSS feed up on your site? And he didn't really have an answer, so we talked about that for quite a while. And hopefully he's dialed in and maybe can go back. And he's in a position where he can make some suggestions to the management to do this. So I think it's just a matter of those of us that are web bloggers or podcasters need to go out there and make sure that we are talking to people that are designing websites and make sure they get RSS feeds up on them so that we can aggregate that data. I did hear that the Engadget podcast is getting ready to make a debut again. They have a new person that is going to actually be doing the production portion of that. So that's interesting to hear. Now, I kind of got pissed off at GoDaddy. And what it was is I had read their literature basically verbose when I was going through and deciding on what host I was going to go with and which server. I primarily went with GoDaddy because of, you know, some of their statements that they've made on the president's website and just basically their philosophy. And it looked pretty good to me. I agreed with what they were doing. But this virtual dedicated server has an interface called Plesk. And for some of you guys that are Unix guys out there, you're probably cringing, oh my God, Plesk. And what I have found out about Plesk is that on virtual dedicated servers, like I am going to be hosting a Geek News Central on, what happens with that is they strip down Linux to just almost bare minimums build. So it basically can boot up, run a web server, do mail, a few other services. So when I went in there to put Perl on and all the other stuff that I had to have Tim and Kevin help me out with, they loaded that stuff up and they suggested that we put Webmin on the server for me to utilize so I wouldn't have to rely on them so much. But apparently Webmin does not get along with Plesk, and the reason that I was going to go with Webmin is because they had, within Plesk on the GoDaddy server, they had about maybe a fourth of the modules turned off. And I was positive when I was reading through the literature on the GoDaddy website that those particular modules were supposed to be turned on. Spam Assassin, Java stuff with Tomcat. There was a three or four things that they said it had that it didn't. And I didn't mind going out to Plesk and buying the licenses so that I could upgrade the license on Plesk. But when I tried to do that, the license that GoDaddy owns was not upgradable. And what it caused me was that these icons weren't activated. And I was just a bit irritated. And I went over to the president's weblog and I dropped him a comment on one of his articles just because I did not have a direct email to him. And I basically tried to explain what was going on. And, you know, I kind of said, hey, you're showing this on your website. You know, it looks a little bit like false advertising because you tell us what you're going to have. And when I got it really didn't have all those features. Sunday, just before the NASCAR race started, my phone rang. And it was one of the senior techs at GoDaddy. And apparently my post got some attention. They talked to me about what was going on, and I explained to them what I needed, and they were able to get those modules enabled for me, and the licenses apparently applied to the account. So I have basically everything that they advertised. So here is a case of, you know, I've been talking about keeping companies' feet to the fire. Here is a case where I personally had an issue with some literature that was on their website. I called them on it, and they made good on it. Now, I need to check back on the website and see if they have actually updated their website to remove some of that information. So those of you that are thinking about going to GoDaddy for a virtual dedicated server, this is, I believe this only applies to virtual dedicated servers, you need to ask them precisely what you're going to get with Plesk. Some of you may not need it. Some of you may not want to run Plesk. Personally, I'm not a Linux guru, so I decided I needed Plesk, and I needed the extra functionality. Okay, a couple of websites that have been brought to my attention. One of them is podcastwizard.com. Apparently, this is going to be an all-in-one site where they're going to have weblog, hosting, publishing, all this under one package. Supposedly, the site went live today. I went to it. It is not complete. And hopefully, we can find out some more information about this website and find out what these guys are up to. I also had heard that the website podcast, podcasts.com, is getting ready to do something. The site is still dark, so we will have to see what's coming on with that site. So those of you that are interested in what's going on in the podcast scene, keep your ears peeled and let's see what happens there. There's a lot of news today talking about the court hearing that's going to go on tomorrow about broadcast flags. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that here in a few minutes. And I think it's important that all of you realize, and some of you that have not listened to the podcast before, and if you're a first-time listener, of course, I want to welcome you to the show and welcome you to our Ohana, our family here. And of course, Ohana in Hawaiian is family. So we want to get you up to school, get you schooled up, and get you aware of what's coming down the road here. If this broadcast flag ruling goes against Electronic Frontier Foundation. As always, we want you to call our comment line if you have comments for the show at 619-342-7365. Of course, you can always call me on Skype at Geek News Central or drop me an email at geek@geeknewscentral.com. Now, the last thing before I get into the content tonight is the website is probably going to be making the full switch tomorrow. There has been some things I have not been able to do until the domain is reflected over there. I think we are about 90% done, but you may see some glitches on the site. You may see some old content while I'm moving the content that is remaining over. It should not be long. When we throw the switch, and as soon as my I get a update from the, basically everything should be transparent. We should make the switch on the DNS server, and it should be everything should go immediately. There should not be any issues because we're already on the new DNS server. You're already getting sent to the old site via the new DNS server, so that stuff should update almost immediately once we turn on the make the switch to the new server. But anyway, you might see a little some peculiar things going on there, and just be aware that it is forthcoming within the next 24 to 48 hours. Okay, into the content here of major things I've found in the news. Dan Gilmore has a pretty good article talking about the federal effort, and this, he's kind of pissed off that the New York Times ran a story and they headlined it, "Federal Effort to Head Off TV Piracy is Challenged." It's a bad headline. You know, basically, what's happening here is in, I believe it's July 15th. Excuse me if I don't have the date exactly right. I believe the date is July 15th. What's going to happen is if the EFF is not successful in the court battle that they're having tomorrow, what will probably end up happening is all manufacturers of TVs, VCRs, DVDs, anything that will show a TV, media, movies, that kind of equipment, will have to have built within the equipment a switch, basically. And it's going to be a hardware type of a system where if the broadcaster says, "I don't want this program copied, I don't want this program recorded." You get my point. You know, basically, the broadcasters can set what is called a broadcast flag or a bit in the data stream, which will prevent you from having fair use of the signal that is coming into your house. So already, there's a lot of, you know, pay-per-view. You can't record pay-per-view on TiVo already or your digital video recorder. It's already been blocked because of the distribution rights. But basically, your regular TV, let's say that someone runs a special. Now, and I'm going to use, for example, I believe on Thursday of this week, ABC is running a two-hour special on UFOs. I'm going to watch it. That's going to be a good one. I'm hearing that there might be some totally amazing revealing stuff that's going to be put forward by Peter Jennings. It's either, I believe it's ABC. Yeah, it is ABC. It's going to have it on Thursday. So I've got my DVR set up to record that. But if this law was in effect already, and I had a piece of hardware in my home that was broadcast flag equipped, what could happen was is ABC could flag that show as a non-record show. So that I wouldn't be able to record it on my TiVo or my DVR. Or I couldn't recopy that to my VHS. You know, what they're going to do through time is people, you know, it may not affect you right now, but 5 years from now when your DVD burns out or your TV quits and you need to go upgrade to HDTV, it's going to have this broadcast flag stuff embedded in your television. Now, I'm sure there's going to be lots of people working on chips that hack these things, so you can bypass it. You know, I'm sure this is just going to open up floodgates for a whole bunch of new hacks and mods to get around the broadcast flag ruling. If those of you want to be able to record stuff to your PC, I would suggest that you get out and get a digital capture card now before these changes come into effect. But anyway, big hearing tomorrow on this. And it's a travesty what the FCC has done, buckling to these media giants. You know, there was, you know, that's just like me saying, All right, you guys can download my podcast, but you can't share it with nobody. Or you can listen to it live, but you can only listen, but you can't copy it. You know, it's bullshit. You know, the Betamax ruling, basically, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, however long it was when the Betamax ruling went down, is under fire right now in that we are allowed to make copies for personal use, fair use of a media that we are paying for. So this broadcast flag thing is raising this ugly head. I've talked about it quite a bit in the past. You know, I've talked about stuff with the RIAA and MPAA and all these organizations that are trying to restrict what you can and can't do. It's kind of something I talk a lot about. Maybe you guys are sick of hearing about it. But you need to get, if this doesn't go, if they lose this court ruling, or this hearing doesn't go in favor of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, you know, we need to stand up and tell our congresspersons what we think. Now, it's probably too late already, you know, for this. And I was advocating on my weblog before I started podcasting a year ago that people needed to stand up and say, this is wrong. You're taking, you know, taking rights away from us. I'll let you know how it goes. It's going to be in the news tomorrow. So we'll see what happens. And I don't know if they're actually going to have a ruling tomorrow or if the case is just being heard. But, you know, we're going down that road. It's a pretty good article out on Mobile PC about the top 100 gadgets of all time. We linked to it in the website earlier in the week. And great stuff in this thing, you know. And I'm looking at some of these gadgets that were designed and are in the top 100 list. You know, there's the Rubik's Cube and the digital watch. And what else is in here? We've got, all kinds of stuff. The swing line stapler. So if you guys are want to know what some of the best 100 gadgets of all time are, check this link out on this article. Now, Geek News Central is published on the Movable Type weblogging package, and that is owned by host company Six Apart. They're on the front web page of CNN today, and basically it talks about Six Apart and where they came from and how they got started and how a company today can be successful, even facing what happened with all the collapses of the dot-coms a number of years ago. So congratulations to Six Apart for being getting a nice spot on CNN.com. Glad to see it. I've got a bunch of guys that I'm the tech podcasters I'm working with that are just, they love WordPress. And I've been playing with it the last couple of days on the tech podcast site, techpodcast.com, where we don't have any active links up to that WordPress installation, but we're going to be making some switches here. We're trying to come up with the right mix for that site, and I guess we're going to try it and see how it works. But it sure does, it's very different in the way it does things. And I guess the one thing that I've noticed right away, the difference between WordPress and Mobile Type, is that it's not real easy to make multiple weblogs. With Mobile Type, it's just automatic. And I have on my control panel within the weblogging software itself, I can see the six different weblogs that I have running, and I can post to any one of them quickly. So if that's one thing that WordPress is lacking, I think that's it. Now, I'm sure someone's going to call me and say, hey, WordPress can do multiple weblogs. You just didn't know how to do it. So, okay, 25 minutes in, and I got a lot to go through. All right, Web Spam Summit. They're going to have a summit tomorrow for the weblogging community. It's going to be hosted by Technorati. They're organizing the event, and so far it looks like Yahoo is going to be there. Google is going to be there. Six Apart's going to be there. AOL. Who else? They put an invitation out to the Feedster guys and WordPress, along with Ask Jeeves and Bloglines. But don't know who all's coming, but I hope that they do well with this Web Spam Summit, and maybe we can put a halt to some of this nasty stuff that's going on by these guys that are hitting us with comment spam and track back spam. All right, there's a pretty good article on it's on the website, The Closed Circle. I'm not familiar with this guy. His name's Dave Briggs, DaveBriggs.net, and he has 10 thoughts on successful blogging. And we've kind of talked about this before. But number one, read more blogs. I guess it's kind of like a Dave Letterman top 10 list. Number one, I should start at the bottom. Let's go down to 10 and read it backwards. Okay. Number 10, stick at it. I guess that means continue to post on your web blog. Number 9, be funny. Okay, I may agree with that. Number 8, be interesting, even controversial, but not stupid. I agree wholeheartedly with that, even though I am stupid sometimes on my web blog. But hey, you know, we're all human. Number 7, make sure your presentation is good. We try. Number 6, keep notes on everything. I do. I have a little piece of paper or a little notepad I carry with me. It's my PDA. You know, a lot of you guys have PDAs. My PDA I use to play solitaire. So my PDA is a little flip notebook that I write in. Seems to work a hell of a lot better than my PDA ever has. Okay, number 6, keep notes on everything. Number 5, link and comment. I agree with that. Number 4, find a niche and evolve it. That's true, but there's not many niches left with 2.7 million web blogs. I think it's just about consistency. Number 3, make sure your blog has a feed. Well, that's kind of obvious. Make sure you have an RSS feed. Number 2, use a link blog. I have a link blog, but boy, we sure don't post to it very much. And if I posted many things to my link blog as Robert Scoble does, I would never have time to sleep. You know, it's amazing how that guy's a machine. And I just got to find a better way to post to it, I guess. Oh, and I'm back then on number 1. Read more blogs. Okay. Well, anyway, there's your top 10 for a successful blogging website. All right. Next thing we're going to talk about. Oh, speaking of Robert Scoble, congratulations. He's found a publisher for his The Red Couch book. Wiley Publishing is going to be their publisher. They're a world-renowned publisher. They do a lot of books, business books, computer books, that kind of stuff. Congratulations to Robert Scoble for finding a publisher. And looks like they got some money out of the deal. That's even better. So I'm looking forward to see what happens in there. And Robert, if you're listening, we still need to talk, partner. I definitely want to host your interviews, so call me. Okay, what else is next? Doc Searles has got an article. It talks about he's become hooked on podcasting. He loves it, apparently. And I'm just going to kind of read the article here. It talks about, I got so hooked on listening to podcasts in rental cars with MP3 CD players that I went to a car audio shop yesterday to see what aftermarket had to offer. When I told him that I'd want a unit that allowed fast forward and rewinding within selections, the players in the Ford Fosse I've been running only jump from file to file. The sales guy showed me a bunch of Alpine units that do exactly that. Make a long story short, he says, but dig what happened when I brought up the reason. I need a fast forward rewind. He says, I listened to a lot of, and the salesman say, podcast, he said. So the guy knew. Apparently, listen to this, folks, car companies and audio manufacturers are already realizing podcasting is making an impact. So what do you bet? What do you bet? I'm going to put $5 on the table here. I'm going to put $20 on the table here. Let's say by December of this year, there will be a car radio that comes out on the market that is specifically designed for podcasters. What do you bet? I got $20 on the table. If it doesn't, whatever it does, if it does happen or doesn't happen, I'll give that $20 to charity. But I bet you $20 it's going to happen. We'll see. So, hey, podcasting's making impacts. All right, Google. We've all heard about Google and what they're doing about with their new utility that's on Internet Explorer, putting in links to advertisements within our content, highlighting it. But there's a lot of consternation going on in the internet, and a question that's brought up by a gentleman. He says, who gets paid? Here's the question. Do you get paid for Google ads for the content stored in Microsoft, Google's, or Yahoo's caches? Can anyone parse affiliate code on those examples? It's clear that the ads have changed. They don't reflect the content of the site anymore and do reflect the URL of the storage location, the cache. It's not a snapshot. The question is, does the site owner or the content owner get paid for these advertisements? Or does Google keep the revenue? Hey, Google, I've got an ad share. I got your ad shares program on my website. You cache my podcast, or you, excuse me, you cache my weblog on your site, and you have people linking to that. I have a contract with you guys, or a, not necessarily a contract, but an agreement with you for click-on ads. You better, I want the money if you're going to put that in there. I want the money, or a portion of it, or don't change my content. So there's a lot of people that's pissed off, folks. I'm not necessarily pissed off. I'm just ranting. Okay. Interesting article on Rick's blog. And I know I'm talking a lot about a podcasting stuff tonight, folks, but hey, I'm on a podcasting roll. What can I say? And he's got an interesting article in here. It talks about the reason you heard about, the reason you've heard of podcasting because no one first demoed it at a conference and no corporate marketeers were involved. I don't know. He might be right, but check out the article. It's a pretty good read, and we'll see. If there's any VCs out there and you like podcasting, we need to talk. Also, hey, some interesting news on the Apple front. Wozniak. Everybody who's a Mac user knows who Woz is. He was, you guys remember that they've been suing some people, right? Apple has. I shouldn't say Woz is because it's not him, it's Apple. And Apple basically has went across some other people that put up a BitTorrent of a pre-release of the Tiger, the Mac OS X10.4. And they sued them. But anyway, here's what Woz says about that lawsuit. I was shocked reading the interview. Everything fits into place that this is an unintentional oversight, and the interviewed student appears to be one of the most honest people on this planet. I have to question who is most right in this case. I wish that Apple could find some way to drop the matter. In my opinion, more than appropriate punishment has already been dealt out. In this age of professional spammers and telemarketers making fortunes, we're misusing our energy to pursue these types of small-time wrongdoers. I will personally donate $1,000 to the Canadian Students' Defense. Woz is going to give $1,000 to fight Apple. This is huge. It's amazing. Amazing comment. So good on you, Woz, man. Good. Come out and say that about the rest of these guys, too. You know, stick it to them. Make the corporate guys back at Apple wake up. Because obviously they're not. All right, I found a pretty cool article on Engadget. You know, people are finding pretty interesting places to put their Mac Mini. Some guy mounted it to the back of his HD TV screen. And you got to see this hack job. It is some geek. You know, zip ties. He's got the cover off the case. Got the power supply tied up to the back. It looks like a rat's nest, but he's got a media computer hooked up to the back of his HD TV, folks. So just goes to show you the Mac Minis are what they're going to be using them for. All right, how many of you are running Windows NT 4? Go ahead. All right, stick your hand up. Say you are or you're not. I am. I still got a box that's got NT4 on it. What isn't broke, folks? Don't fix. I'm not switching till the machine dies. That's a machine that blew the power supply on me the other day. I was sitting here Saturday morning. I woke up. Matter of fact, I got up and I came in the office, sat down, was reading email, and it was still dark out. And I heard this. I won't scream into the mic, but it was just an explosion, a big pop. and I saw a flash underneath the desk, and I heard the server wind down. So I blew a power supply on my NT4 server. Luckily, I had one in the power supply in the closet. This is like the second power supply I blew in as many months. You know, they're just, it's amazing how often these power supplies go. But different machine, so it's not the same machine. But anyway, getting back to this NT4 article, they're talking about how to secure your old systems. I guess they're going to have a conference. Looks like it'd be a pretty good one to listen to. It's going to be an online type e-seminar. And I'm going to check it out just because I want to make sure that my NT4 box stays secure as possible. And I've got it firewalled from every other machine on my network. So if something does, someone else does get into it, then it'll be safe. Now, I'm not running Internet Explorer on it, so I don't have to worry about those hacks. Interesting article on Ziff Davis about Skype. Some people are not real happy. I guess some people are having problems with the voice IP service when they're actually doing computer to telephone connections. We noticed this to Japan when we were calling Japan. The connection was not that great. My wife didn't make it out to Japan, so hopefully here in the next couple of days, I'm going to try to Skype her over there and see how it works out. I have been talking to her on regular landline, but I would like to save some money and talk to her via Skype. We'll see how that goes. What else? What's next? I've got a lot of stuff still yet. I'm going to have to wrap it up short tonight, 37 minutes. There's some more talk about the farming attacks. I'm going to put the link up to that article. Check it out. There's a lot of, it's a pretty technical explanation about what's going on and the problem on why it's going to be hard to fix. So that those of you that are running servers out there and that are ISPs, or you have a buddy that's running his own DNS server, such and so forth, need to check this out. Talks about where the issue lies and why it's going to be such a hard fix. Okay, Gmail. Gmail is not coming out of beta. They're not going to be opening the floodgate, although those of us that have accounts are still going to be giving lots of invitations out. I have probably got about 30 of you that have asked for Gmails that I have not fulfilled yet. I apologize. I just haven't had time. So when I get caught up, and maybe I'll get caught up midday tomorrow, I'll be able to send those invitations out. They take a little bit of time for me to deal them out, but once I get them out, I'll clear the cache. But if anybody hasn't gotten a Gmail account, send me an email. I'll make sure I get to it, and I can't promise how fast it's going to happen. Okay, Lexmark. We know about Lexmark. I've talked about Lexmark before. You know, they were all pissed off that Static Controls was making, basically Static Controls reverse-engineered their ink cartridges so that you could buy, you know, basically you go out and buy El Cheapo Lexmark printers, which your printers are pretty good, but then you go to buy the ink for them, and the ink was a little expensive, more than normal expensive. So Static Controls reverse-engineered their ink flow cartridges and put them on the market, and Lexmark sued, said you can't do that. It's a infringement of copyright, blah, 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 Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And basically, for the second time, a court has slapped them down and said, no, we're not going to hear your case. You're wrong. You're abusing this. So expect the prices for Lexmark printers to go up. That's my prediction. That's Todd's prediction for the day, if they haven't went up already. And I think, I don't know, I'm speculating on this, that they probably were supplementing their cheap printers by the ink sales. So anyway, enough of that. All right, what else? I keep saying that. I got to stop doing that. All right, NASA. NASA's going to get the shuttle back in the air. They've moved a date a couple of days. Looks like 15 May is the planned launch date of Discovery. So mission back to the International Space Station for that. We're looking forward to return to flight. Okay, a little more information on no First Amendment protection for, actually, I shouldn't say no First Amendment protection. No protection for bloggers in protecting their source. You know, if you get some information from somebody and you try to keep the source quiet, it's basically been proven already that journalists have been going to jail for trying to protect sources during grand jury indictments and that kind of things. So be very careful what you put out there. When you're typing, you are liable for what you say. and how you say it. So protect yourselves, folks, okay? It's this court ruling that's forthcoming does not look like it's going to go well for web bloggers. May not go good for journalists either. Last article of the day, folks. Media bloggers. Have you guys heard about this guy, the Media Bloggers Association? I don't know anything about this site. I saw Chris Perillo had joined, and I guess I've got some questions on what they're doing. So if anybody knows any information besides what's on their website, let me know. I'd appreciate it. I don't know if I'm necessarily interested in joining, but I've just got a little curiosity about it. I know we had a lot of podcast information tonight. We had a lot of non-technical stories, a lot of stuff on web blogging. Hey, that's just what came up in the article search today, and I hopefully will find some more juicy stuff for the Friday show. But I want to thank you for listening to the Geek News Central podcast. As always, I'm Todd. I'm the geek from Geek News Central. And you can check the website out at www.geeknewscentral.com. Of course, call me on Skype at Geek News Central or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And Skype. If I'm not online on Skype, you can always get the voicemail. So try me at Skype at Geek News Central. We're 42 minutes. I am going to throw up some GarageBand music tonight. Let's see what I can dig up, and we'll kick that off here in right about now.
Is this your definition of music?
Turn the volume up.
These guys are the best.
As we kick off today's showcased independent music artist.
Okay, folks, the song is Asleep at the Wheel. Enjoy, and we'll have the artist and the link up on the website for you at the end of the show. Take care.
I had a dream that I was driving. I was asleep at the wheel. Golden-haired angels all around me. I wasn't thinking how I'd feel. I never made it out to me.
Folks, I heard the drop out too. I don't know what happened to that file, but I'll get it replaced and we'll happen next time. See you on Friday, folks. Have a great week. Bye-bye.